We're indeed privileged to have with us in our KMPC studio on Capitol Hill in your nation's capital, Senator Richard Nixon, who has taken just a few moments from his extremely busy day today to visit with us very informally and answer a few questions for the people of California. Today has been most difficult for the members of the United States Senate. In there has been a continuous stream of roll calls, one after another, on the questions which are before the Senate. The great debate over whether the United States should send troops to Western Europe seems to be finally drawing to a close. The people of the country are wondering what the decision of the House and the Senate will be on this most momentous issue. Now, Senator Nixon, I wonder if you will answer some of our questions, some of the pertinent questions which the people would like to ask you were they here in the nation's capital. And if you'll agree to do so, we'll go on with our first question, which I think we can consider a $64 question. Is the Congress going to approve the sending of troops to Western Europe?
Well, I would say right off the bat that you certainly picked a $64 question at the outset. I do think that the answer to that question is pretty definite at this time, and that is that the Congress is going to approve the sending of some troops to Western Europe. As far as the conditions that may be imposed upon that obligation to send troops to Western Europe, assuming that we do consider it an obligation, as far as those conditions are concerned, it is difficult at this time to say just what they may be. But I don't think there's any question but that in both the House and the Senate, when the vote finally is taken, it will be in favor of sending some troops to Western Europe.
Well, now, Senator Nixon, since you say that you feel the vote will be in favor of sending some troops to Europe, what do you think will be the reasons for this decision to aid Europe? Do you feel it's because of our desire to help Europe, or to help ourselves, or possibly a combination of both?
Well, let me say in answer to that question that I do not believe any aid program to Western Europe can be justified unless it is in the self-interest of the United States of America as well as in the interests of the people of Europe. I mean by that this. Certainly we all have an interest in seeing to it that our European friends do not go behind the Iron Curtain. And we would like to aid them even though the only purpose of our aid was to help them, keep them from falling under communist domination. But if that were the only reason, and if there were no self-interest as far as America was concerned, we would not be justified in voting that aid, because our economy is already strained by the tremendous expenditures that we have because of the war in Korea, for example, other military expenditures, and to place an additional strain upon it must require, without any question, a great deal of justification. So I would say that as far as this great question is concerned, that a program of sending troops to Western Europe must be justified and can be justified only if it is in the interests of the people of America and our government as well as in the interests of the people of Europe and their governments.
Well, if any aid program to Europe must meet the test of American self-interest, do you feel that a case can be made for sending troops to Europe?
Well, I think that in answering that question, that what we have to do is to analyze just what our foreign policy's purpose should be at this time. And I think that as we consider that question, we come up with always one answer, and that's this. What do the people of the United States of America want? Well, above everything else, we want peace and security. Now, what is the only threat to the peace and security of the people of the United States? It's the one which is presented by the international communist conspiracy with its power center in the Soviet Union. Now, why is it that the communists are unable to or do not start a war now against us? There's only one reason. Because they do not feel that if they began a war, they would win it. They do not feel that they have the necessary skilled manpower and the resources, particularly from the standpoint of productive power, to begin a war against us, which they would win. Well, now, let me say, in answering that question just a bit further before you go on to your next question, that if the people of the Western European countries fall under the domination of the communists, then they would have acquired the skilled manpower and they would have acquired the resources which would make it possible for them to conclude that they could begin a war eventually which they would win. And therefore, if the United States of America wants peace, if we want security, it is in our self-interest to see to it that the people of Europe do not fall under communist domination. as well as in their self-interest as well. So I say that as far as the sending of troops to Europe is concerned, it can be justified on the basis of not only European self-interest, but also certainly on the basis of American self-interest as well.
Well, now, you say it can be justified in predicating that statement on those two premises. That, of course, brings up the next question, which most of us are asking ourselves, and I think it's a rather practical one. Assuming that we do send troops to Europe, will it do any good, one? And do the people of Europe have the will to resist? And assuming that they have the will to resist, do they have the ability to resist communist aggression?
Well, of course, you've asked probably another question that we could also call a $64 question. Let me say that I feel that the answer to that question is one which is not an easy one, and it's an answer which I don't think should be given too dogmatically. All that we can say is that people like General Eisenhower and General Clay, who have been to Europe, who have spent time there and talked both to the governments of the Western European countries and to the military leaders and the people there, have come back and said that they feel that, as far as Western Europe is concerned, that the will to resist can be created and is beginning to be developed. I think that perhaps I can summarize my own viewpoint in answer to this question in this way. If the will to resist can be developed in Europe, there is no question that Europe has the ability to resist. And let me say this, that as far as the United States of America is concerned, although it is in our interest not to allow Europe to fall under communist domination, we must also recognize that we cannot do the job alone. We can't even do 50% of the job. We can't even do 75% of the job. If Europe is to be defended, it must be defended in the final analysis by the people of Europe themselves. All that the people of the United States can do is to give the necessary leadership which may instill and encourage the will to resist in the peoples of Western Europe. And as I see this whole problem of sending military aid, including some troops to Western Europe, I say that the reason that we should do it, and the only basis and the only justification for our doing so, is to give the leadership to the discouraged governments and the discouraged peoples of Western Europe so that we can build up the will to resist there. Once that will to resist is built up, once they begin to do what they can to the extent of their abilities, then the Europeans themselves will be able to assume the major responsibility, which they must assume, of defending themselves from further communist aggression.
One final question. One of the big items of debate in the Senate was the question of limitation of just how many men we should send to Europe. Some said 5 million, some said 4 million, and then again, there was no ceiling. Now, in your opinion, what should be the limitation? And second, what do you think the Senate will say as to the limitation?
Well, first, answering your second question, I would say that as far as the Senate is concerned, it appears likely at this time that our decision will be that the at least 4 divisions will be sent to Western Europe. Whether or not the Senate will place an actual overall ceiling upon the number of troops that will be sent is still a very, very debatable question. I might say that just today I was talking to Senator Nolan and Senator Lodge, both of whom are serving on the joint committees that are considering this problem, and they said that the votes were very, very close, with one vote probably deciding the issue in the committee.
And they were bipartisan votes, too.
And they were bipartisan votes, 13 to 12, 13 to 11. And so I think that as far as the number of troops that are to be sent, that the answer to that question is that we can say that at least 4 divisions that will be sent to Western Europe. Whether more will be sent than that, I think, is going to depend upon what the committees recommend.
Now, one other question that is related, it's the question of drafting 18 years old boys. We have had a lot of that here. We've had hearings for weeks. What is the feeling of the Senate in particular in regard to the drafting of 18-year-olds at this time?
Well, let me say incidentally that I can certainly corroborate what you say about the interest in the 18-year-old draft problem. In my office alone, we have to date received over 4,000 letters on the subject of drafting 18-year-olds from people in California. Most of those letters, I might say, oppose the drafting of 18-year-olds. Most of them come from mothers and families of those who might be drafted, and I might say that they make a pretty effective case against the drafting of 18-year-olds. Now, What is the Senate going to do? What's the House going to do? My opinion at this time, and we're considering this, of course, on the floor of the Senate now, and the vote probably will be taken or may have been taken by the time that this broadcast is being sent over the airwaves. My opinion at this time is that 18-year-olds will be included in the draft. I do think, however, that there isn't any question that but that the bill, which eventually will be approved by both the Senate and the House, will put in definite limitations as far as the military are concerned, and will require them to take boys, or men, shall we say, in the 19 to 25 age bracket first. It will also, of course, provide that any student in any particular year in which he becomes 18 will be allowed to finish his school year, and there will be certain other exceptions and conditions which will be made as far as the drafting of 18-year-olds is concerned. But in the final analysis, I think the reason why the House and the Senate will approve the drafting of 18-year-olds is this. It's because we have heard from the military that unless we do allow the drafting of 18-year-olds, we will not be able to build our armed forces to the strength necessary to deter further communist aggression. As far as the communists are concerned, we know that being the realistic men they are, they will begin a war only when they are convinced that their strength as compared to ours is such that they can win. And for that reason, we must take a certain amount of judgment of our military people when they say that it's going to require a certain number of men to maintain our forces adequately so that the communists will not reach the point that they will begin a war. In other words, I call this draft program a program of preparedness for peace rather than preparedness for war, because by having the draft, by having preparedness, that is the best guarantee that we will have for peace. And then one other point that I'll mention only briefly. The reason why 18-year-olds must be drafted is that that is the only way we are going to build up the pool of manpower which will allow us to get out of the service the men who served in World War II and who have been called back to serve in the Korean War at the present time. And I think that most Americans will agree that that's fair.
That's the rotation plan that's been mentioned, is it?
That's right, and that rotation plan cannot be put into effect unless we do draw upon the 18-year-olds.
Well, certainly we who believe in democracy certainly would have to go along with that line of thinking.
Well, that's the way I think that most of us feel in the Senate who have favored the drafting of 18-year-olds, and I think that is the main reason why that particular draft bill, as far as 18-year-olds are concerned, why that provision is being written into the bill.
Thank you very much, Senator Nixon. On behalf of our KMPC audience, I want to thank you for visiting informally just these few moments from the floor of the Senate during an extremely busy day and trying hours here on Capitol Hill. From Washington, our studios in the Senate Office Building, we return you now to KMPC.